Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We are in a series through the book of Luke, and we saw last week Jesus' simple yet profoundly impactful mission involved healing and preaching, and we're going to see that continue again. My name is Brett Sweet, one of the pastors here where we exist to glorify God through gospel-centered worship, evangelism, discipleship, and community. I do want to pray once more. And really, in many ways, the text Pastor Dave just read before we prayed is very fitting. It talks about Jesus being a forerunner, the idea of someone going before us. And that's crucial because the main theme of today's sermon is about following. It's our job to follow, and we see that in the life of Peter. So let me pray. Lord, have mercy on us. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us. We ask that we would see Jesus as Peter and James and John saw Jesus. We pray we would be compelled this morning to follow you. We pray that everybody here would have such a clear vision of Jesus that we would want to follow you every day, follow him wherever he leads. Pray that for our children, for those of us close to death, for those of us with big dreams still for this life, we pray that all of them would be harnessed for your glory. And we need your Holy Spirit to help us. So send him, we pray. Help me to be helpful and help us to listen carefully and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Dorothy was told to follow the yellow brick road. And one of my favorite fairy tales, probably my most favorite, Hansel and Gretel, they survived this maze of the wilderness forest the first time because they left a trail of stones that they could follow on the way out. If you go even further back into mythology, the great Greek hero, Theseus, he fights the Minotaur in the labyrinth, into this maze, and he found his way out because he followed a string that he left on the way in. And of course, we live in a part of the country where we recognize that the West was settled, discovered, mapped, because two men followed the directions of a woman. Lewis and Clark followed the guidance of Sacagawea. It seems that many of us would be legends if we would only stop and ask for directions. But who or what are you following today? It's estimated that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. Life is a daily maze with 35,000 intersections. That's over 1 million a month. And our hearts and attitudes, our anxieties and angers kind of reveal that there's this uncertainty about us, that there's some things going on that we're not always sure we're making the right decision. Where are we really following the right plan? Are we really following the right idea? Are we really following the right purpose? And you are this morning following someone. You are. And that's scary. That's a scary thing because sometimes the people we follow are uninformed or downright untrustworthy or dangerous. In fact, we've seen in the last few years that heroes from the people have considered heroes for decades, all of a sudden can be considered bad guys. Today's heroes might be tomorrow's villains. So who are you following? Well, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, frees us from so much uncertainty, so much anxiety, so many cares. Because we find that we're not just following a trail of stones or string or just good advice. We're following a person. It's a who that we're following. And so in that 35,000 decisions you make today, adults, really this is the big deal. Follow Jesus today. That's the big theme. Three words. Follow Jesus today. Pretty simple. Pretty self-explanatory. Jesus is the one your heart really wants to follow, whether you realize it or not. He's the one you want to follow. He's worth following today, and we're going to see that. So let's follow him today. We're going to ask two questions. Why follow Jesus? Why? What's so special about him? And then why follow today? Why today? Why not wait a while? Why follow Jesus and why follow today? So first, why follow Jesus? That's the question. Why not follow some good teacher you have? Or your favorite celebrity? Or the advice you read on the internet? Why follow Jesus? The first answer to that question is this. Follow Jesus because Jesus preaches God's word. Jesus preaches God's word. He brings God's word to us. Let's read verses 1 through 3. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now that's the Sea of Galilee and in other Gospels. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So here's Jesus. He's so full of love that he wants as many people as possible to be helped by him. So he goes out into the boat where the acoustics are better in the water and more people can get closer, and he teaches them God's word. He teaches them God's word. So in this maze of life, all these decisions, what makes mazes so complicated is you can't see around corners. But God can. So if God is above our situations and can speak to us and tell us which way to go, then that's a reason to follow Jesus because he's giving us God's word. He brings God's word. Of course we would want to follow him. He'll lead us safely through. And where others are wrong and might harm us, might give us bad direction, he's going to be right. And the things he tells us will ensure what God's best is and will lead us into God's best. And the very fact that Jesus is divine, which was what Luke has told us early in the chapters, means everything Jesus says is God's word. And he confirms the whole Bible to be God's word. So if you really want to hear from God, you will follow Jesus. You will follow Jesus. Do you really believe Jesus has delivered God's word to us? That this is God's word? What would that look like? You would want to hear everything it says. Everything God says. And you would want to tell others what it says. It would change us, wouldn't it? And in fact, it is changing us. We would want everyone to know about it. And Jesus preaches God's word. So that's the first reason. Why follow Jesus? Jesus preaches God's word. But Luke gives us more answers, more good reasons to follow Jesus. Why follow Jesus? Because Jesus has power over creation. Jesus has power over creation. He rules over it, controls it. Look with me now at beginning in verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Verse 5, and Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Skip down to verses 9 and 10. For he and all, that's Peter, Simon Peter, and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So Jesus has power over creation. One of the ways I grew up fishing a lot in high school and college is I'd fish for these things, we call them silvers or kokanee. They're landlocked salmon, pretty small in these lakes. And I became something of an expert in catching these fish. You could catch them in a variety of ways, but most people realized that the most successful way to catch them is to use very specific tackle and very specific bait. And you fished at a very specific depth, not 27 feet, not 29 feet. You fished for them at 28 feet. And you fished for them at night. You could catch them in the day, but you realize that for the most part, the most effective fishing was at night. So there was a sense in which, as we acquired this information, myself and others became something of an expert. But we would be nothing compared to Simon Peter as a fisherman. Simon fishes for a living. Simon spends almost every day of his life on this lake. Simon is successful in what he does. He has a business, and he has multiple boats. He has partners. He's good at this. He knows what he's doing. So I'm sure Simon is thinking when Jesus says, hey, you know, let's try something here. Jesus, I got to think Simon's like, you know, Jesus, we know you're a good teacher, and we know you can heal people, but I know fishing. I know fishing. But there's this very interesting thing going on here. Simon knows that fishing at night is far more effective. Fish can't see the nets. It's just much more effective. But Jesus tells him to fish during the day. Interesting. And Simon knows, he knows, that usually it's better to fish in shallow water. But Jesus says, no, 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 we're going to go out where it's deep. We're going to go out where it's deep. Why? So you can spend thousands of dollars, trust me, my son wants me to, on fish finders. But you don't need them if you have Jesus. Because Jesus controls the whole universe. He has power over creation. He can compel something even as dumb as fish to come. Catch massive numbers. He can direct them whenever and wherever he pleases. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else has power over creation. Nobody. No great philosopher or general can really control the weather. No great teacher or healer can compel fish or birds or anything like that to obey. But Jesus can. That's why you should follow Jesus. He's better. He's just better. It makes sense to follow Jesus. Why follow Jesus? Jesus preaches God's word. Jesus has power over creation. Another answer to that question, why follow Jesus? Jesus is holy. Jesus is holy. He's holy. The people around this lake have seen a lot of full fishing nets in their lives. They've lived here a long time. But these people have spent their lives catching fish, seeing nets. They are astonished. They're astonished by what has happened on this lake, in this boat, with this man, Jesus, present, who initiated the whole thing, in control of it all, every little detail. And it's because this is a holy man. No one else is like this. Read verse 8 with me. But when Simon Peter saw it, this is the net and all this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In Isaiah 6, we were reminded of this, one of the songs. We see Isaiah coming face to face with God himself, and he falls down, and he's terrified. This is what we hear in Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I, that's Isaiah, said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now here's something interesting. If you read John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41, John says that what Isaiah saw is really a who. And who Isaiah saw was Jesus. Jesus. And so Peter is seeing what Isaiah saw. He's getting a little glimpse of the holiness of God. Peter is now, what is he aware of? He's responding the way Isaiah did. He is aware of his sinfulness. He is aware now of Jesus' holiness. That's what makes us aware of our sinfulness. Peter probably spent his whole life daydreaming of this day. Dreaming, what would it be like Imagine if we caught so many fish. We need help pulling the nets in. He's probably dreaming, like, if we had a catch like this, just think our financial problems would be solved for months. When he gets this catch of fish, though, none of that is on his mind. He does not care. All he is aware of now is Jesus' holiness. And he recognizes that Jesus is the Holy One. That's a good reason to follow Jesus. Jesus is holy. The only way we really grow, and you talk to people who are really mature, people who have made big impacts, God's kingdom, is people who grow really in recognizing God's holiness and their own sinfulness. It's not people who just have a really pleasant, easy idea of what it means to be a Christian. It's people who have really high visions of who God is, as the Bible describes him, and a very real understanding that we're undeserving, that we've offended God, that we don't just have personality quirks or foibles. We've offended and rejected a holy God. So do you feel conviction of sin when you even begin to question God's word? That's what Peter did. Now, notice the text. Peter obeyed Jesus, but his one little qualm was like, he made an excuse. Like, we tried all night, but I'll obey. That was enough for Peter to feel his sinfulness. God's word says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Are you doing that? Sacrificing yourself for her good? The Holy God says, only speak words that are for people's good, their spiritual good. So you can't gossip. And you can't tell those jokes. Are you doing that? Holy God tells children to obey their parents and older kids to honor their adults no matter what. Have you done that? The Holy God says to pray without ceasing. Have you done that? We recognize if we really are trying to perform, we're in deep trouble. And think about prayer for a moment. I was reading this. I was reminded of this. I think John Owen, a Puritan, said this. You're never really more godly than when you are praying. And I think I agree with him. You're never more godly than when you're praying. But he goes, examine what your prayer life looks like. How quickly you get distracted and you start thinking about yourself or what you need to do. It's like, that's you at your holiest. That's bad. Where we should follow Jesus because he's holy. But the problem is that when we see Jesus' holiness, we're likely to respond like Simon Peter does, which is, get away from me. Depart from me. We can't handle it. You're too much for us. We don't deserve it. We'll be destroyed. It's terrifying to follow Jesus. We want him to go away, give us space. We're concerned we won't survive. Follow Jesus today. Ask some questions. Why follow Jesus? We've answered them three different ways. All true. Jesus preaches God's word. Jesus is in control of creation. He rules over creation and he's holy. But why follow today? Why follow today? If those are the things, if Jesus is that holy, why follow today? Here's the good answer to that. First answer, because Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. That's why you should follow today and not put it off. Jesus forgives. Let's read the end of verse 10. Hear what Jesus responds. How he responds to Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now see, that's interesting if you read all of Luke's gospel. Because in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is going to say this. You should fear him who can send people to hell, who can condemn people. You should fear me, Jesus is saying. You should fear God. And Luke has shown us that Jesus is God. So Jesus, the only way he can tell someone to not be afraid is to tell them that they're forgiven, really. So when you say, do not be afraid, that's a sign that Jesus forgives Simon. There's forgiveness. Now, though there's a number of psychologists are Christians, psychology, for the most part, tends to be built on really unchristian thinking. It's built on this idea that Christianity, which teaches about sin and guilt, psychology tends to say those are all myths, sin and guilt. So if you're feeling your sin, you're feeling guilty, you kind of might have a minor mental illness, and we'll work together on that. And so for a long time, because of that, psychology was indifferent to the idea of forgiveness. But what's interesting is as they did their research, they started to realize that people who forgive others, who embrace forgiveness, are happier people, and they're healthier people. So if you go to a therapist now, they might recommend that you find some way to forgive that person who harmed you. Figure out a way to do that. But the problem is psychology has no power for that. Just say, like, figure out a way to do that, and you might be better off. Now, I can't say that you should. I just, you know, it might be good for you. See, the problem is forgiveness is really hard. And psychology doesn't provide the power for that. And forgiveness is costly, very costly. It's what it is, essentially. It's saying that you have been a victim of injustice or evil, and you're willing to let somebody else get away with it. Get away with it. Instead of making them pay the price, you accept the price. You accept the emotional pain. You pay it. You're willing to take the suffering rather than reflect it back on the offender. And Jesus forgives. The reason you should follow Jesus today is that Jesus forgives your sins today. You don't need to be afraid wondering if he'll accept you in the future. He forgives today. Someone who really knows you at your worst and yet offers and secures forgiveness and accepts you. Jesus really is the only one whom you've really offended with your sins. Only one whom I've offended with my sins. Because every attack on other people is an attack on an image bearer of Jesus. Someone who's meant to represent God. So I'm attacking him. But Jesus is holy, which means he can't just overlook our sins. He can't just let people get away with it. How can he forgive today? He can forgive you because he paid the price. He carried the suffering we deserve. He suffered in his life and then, of course, on the cross. And on the cross, the wrath of God we deserve for our sins is poured out on Jesus. And at the end of his life, what does Jesus say? It is finished. All of it paid, over with. Jesus suffers so that we could be forgiven. Jesus forgives today. No more wrath for God's people. He went through the grave then, victorious out the other side to lead us to life to come, defeating death. And because he rules over creation, as we read earlier, he can defeat death. Even decay and gravity, all those things cannot stop him. And here's what's remarkable. If we're forgiven and we recognize we've been forgiven by Jesus, here's something the gospel offers that psychology can't. And that's power for us to forgive others. We recognize how much we've been forgiven and it becomes like, oh, it's no big deal. I can forgive. That hurt a lot. And this is going to be a real challenge. But compared to what God has done for me, it's a small thing. There's only a little more waking and sleeping. Today would be my father's 68th birthday. He's now been gone 3 years. Happened like that. A little more waking and sleeping, a little more buying and selling. follow Jesus today. Our sins deserve hell. Don't put it off. Follow Jesus today. Listen to me. Maybe you're scared, but Jesus forgives. He forgives today. He can forgive you. Don't bear your guilt and your burdens another day. You don't need to. Follow Jesus today. He forgives today. He forgave Peter that day at the Sea of Galilee. He'll forgive you today if you turn to him. So we need to preach this to ourselves. Preach the gospel. This is what Jesus does. He forgives every day. Every day. And that's good news. So we should preach that to ourselves, remind us of our sins, but then even being more and more reminded of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. God, we're forgiven through Jesus, completely on what he did. You don't need to perform either. That's good news. Follow him today. So why follow today? The biggest reason is that Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. But there are other reasons. Why follow Jesus today? Why follow today? Answer number two, Jesus gives purpose. Jesus gives purpose. There's purpose that comes when you follow Jesus. Let's read to the end of verse 10. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." He says to Simon, Jesus gives, he takes people and he gives them a purpose. He says, there's something for you to do. I'm going to give you lasting purpose. You're going to advance my kingdom. And he uses this language of catching men. And there's actually some reference to this in Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 and 16, where there's this idea that God is sending out hunters and fishermen to catch people and bring them into his kingdom. And the word for catching men, we would think like, oh, that seems bad. But it's catching people alive. It's literally what it means. It's giving them life as you catch them. That's purpose. Purpose that lasts for eternity. You want things to last, don't you? You want them to really last. You want to do things that are really meaningful. But if we're really honest, most of the things we do are going to die with us. A few things are going to live on with our kids. A few less things will live on with our grandchildren. Most of it will not live past them. That makes life feel pretty meaningless. But what if you could do something that lasts for eternity? If you had purpose that extended into eternity, lasted forever, has eternal fruit. That's what Jesus is promising. If you follow him today, you can help catch men. You can help build his kingdom. You can share the gospel with others. You can disciple people in the gospel. No matter which of the 35,000 decisions you make, you can have purpose as you do them, as you're following Jesus. He'll give you purpose today and every day. And that's a really important part of this story. What we're seeing is that Jesus has this mission, it's this purpose, and now beginning here, we're seeing that he's going to use people to fulfill it. He's beginning to use people. He's beginning to call Peter and those around him. And they're common people. Fishermen. People like Peter. People like us. And he does this. He gives us purpose by aligning our goals, our purposes with his. They line up. Now think about fishing for a moment. To be successful fishing, you really only have two attributes. You're faithful and you're patient. You're faithful. Faithful to cast nets or hooks. You just do it again and again. And you're patient. You recognize sometimes it takes time. My son loves to fish. We watch fishing videos all the time. And one of the fish we watch these guys catch are muskie. Muskie are these big predatory fish. Can grow up more than 4 feet long, teeth. But they're very spooky and very sly. They're called the fish of 10,000 casts. Because the thought is they're so hard to catch, it might take the average fisherman who's fishing for muskie 10,000 casts to catch one. So if you're muskie fishing, you cast 9,000 times, still nothing. 9,500 times, still nothing. 9,999 times, still nothing, but you still cast. Because you're faithful and you're patient. And that's really what it means to follow Jesus. You're faithful and you're patient. So people say, why would Jesus select this poor, uneducated fisherman to follow him? Jesus didn't know what he's doing. He should have attracted the elite. No, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Faithful people that will do what he says. And patient for Jesus' timing to bring things up. Peter didn't catch anything at night, but he still put down the nets. Maybe that's why Jesus called those fishermen. They had practiced being faithful and patient. Why follow Jesus today? Jesus forgives today, and Jesus gives purpose. And last, we will answer that question. Why follow today? Jesus provides. Jesus provides. So we listen, and here in verse 11, we're going to hear Jesus talking. They were talking about James and John and Simon Peter, and we read verse 11. And when they had brought their boat, well, we'll go back to verse 10. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they, these three men, had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. If you're Peter, here is your moment. This is the day. If we put it in our language, this is the big sale. This is the big account. This, we finally completed the dream house. We finally had the children. Everything is lining up perfectly. Our dreams are coming true. It's all happening. And Peter leaves it all to follow Jesus. Willing to lose everything. Now, the only way you would do this, you can only really do this if Jesus provides. You can only do it if he provides, and he does. Most of us won't be called to give up our careers to follow Jesus. But he may demand that, and he will provide. Most of us won't be called to move to another place in the world to build God's kingdom. But Jesus may demand that, and he will provide. Most of us won't be called to live life without our beloved family members, meaning that we've got to leave them and go be missionaries somewhere else. But God may demand that. Jesus may demand that, and he will provide. You can leave everything and follow him today because Jesus provides. That's a good reason to follow Jesus. It was probably labor-intensive for these guys. They had to secure buyers, probably took them, even though they were following immediately, we read in the other gospel accounts, probably took them some time to get people to take over the business and so forth. But Jesus provided. They believed Jesus would provide. But let's look at Peter and James and John later in the gospels for a moment. There are going to be times where they doubt Jesus provides. Jesus, we don't have enough bread. Where are we going to get our bread? Jesus, do you have a place for me? Can I be at your right hand, left hand maybe? Will you provide status for me? But then Jesus goes to the cross for them. And then Jesus defeats death for them. And they never doubt his provision again. Even though it cost James his life. Even though it cost Peter his life. Even though it cost John exile on an island, they believed Jesus provided, and they will tell you that he provided for them when you see them in eternity. So when we think about it, Jesus is giving us insider information here. He's going to provide. So if you picture it, there's Martha Stewart smiling in front of the camera, baking a delicious dish, organizing flowers, decorating a living room, ring, phone calls, financial advisor, hey, hello, you got $230,000 of stock in this company, M-Clone, that's not going to get FDA approval, you should sell all your stuff today before we make it public. Well, that's insider trading. You have this inside information, you're not allowed to take your money from where it's unsafe and put it where it will be better provided for. That's not allowed till things are made public. But Jesus gives us the insider information and says, take advantage of it. I'm going to provide for you forever. trust me to provide. Take your trust in your financial situation, in your family status, in your personal righteousness, in your religious obedience. Take it away from there and put it somewhere safe where I'll provide. Give it to me. Jesus guarantees he will provide for you. So follow Jesus. Follow him today. He guarantees that things will work out for you in eternity. Things may not look the way you had planned, but you can follow Jesus. We're almost done. How do we follow Jesus? We let Jesus lead us. So here's some practical questions you can pray that can help you follow Jesus. Beware praying them. First question, as you're praying, Jesus, what is your Holy Spirit saying to me in your word? Jesus, what is your Holy Spirit saying to me in your word? Remember, Jesus speaks to his followers. The sheep hear his voice. What are you saying to me? Which means we need to be reading the word. Second question, Jesus, what do I need to change today with your Spirit's power? What do I need to change today? This gets into our sin and maybe just our habits. What do I need to change today? And you let Jesus reveal that to you. Number three, very dangerous one. Jesus, what can I give today? What can I give today? This combats selfishness and greed, and it grows in command to love one another. I was praying this yesterday on the way to the grocery store, and I'm trying to choose which checker to be in. I see this line over here. It's going way faster, so I get behind a lady, get up there. Just prayed, what can I give today? The lady's EBT card won't work. She's got all these groceries. Jesus, what can I give today? You know what I did? Nothing. I should have bought her groceries. She had cash. She ended up paying another way. But it was there. It's a dangerous prayer. What can I give today? Jesus, last one question. Jesus, how can I give thanks today for what you've done for me? Jesus, how can I give thanks today for what you've done for me? This is so freeing. So when I think, did I disobey you at the grocery store yesterday? I can say, if the decision is yes, and it probably is, then I can say, Jesus, thank you that you died for that sin, that selfishness, that carelessness. Thank you that you've paid for it. So think about how Jesus is revealed in these verses. Who compares to him? Who compares to him? That's what Luke wants us to know. Peter saw it. Peter saw Jesus, and he followed him all the way. We can follow him today. Who would you rather follow? It's Jesus who preaches God's word. None of your philosophers or teachers can do that. It's only Jesus, not mere research or anything like that. Jesus has power over creation. Nobody else can say that. Jesus is holy. So where others have harmed us when we follow their lead, Jesus will always treat us right, make sure things work well for us. Other people we follow are going to make a big deal of our sins and mistakes, but Jesus forgives. Why wouldn't you want to follow him today? You may wonder if you made the right decisions, but that's okay. You can follow Jesus knowing he gives you purpose. He's going to use you for his glory and your good. And lastly, where all other investments ultimately fail sooner or later, Jesus provides. So let's, as a church, not let another day go by. It might be a maze out there, but Jesus will provide for us. If we follow him each today, we'll be in good shape. So let's follow him. And Jesus is going to lead us. In his name we pray. Amen.